101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fane, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
Good morning! Good morning! Please don't sing. Good morning to you. Hey, this is the Mark Hoke Show. Thanks for being with us. I'm Mark Hoke.
Yes, you are.
And Andrew Fish Fane.
That would be
me. In the booth.
Yay.
My phone's ringing, so
I can hear that.
So, Fish, you want to introduce Joe?
Oh, it is my pleasure to introduce the man, the myth, the legend, the promoter and founder of FSW here in Las Vegas. Future Stars of Wrestling had a huge show last night. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe DeFalco.
You know, I was just about to call myself the man, the myth, the legend myself, and you just took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, that's because I have that much respect for you, sir. I heard you had an absolutely amazing show last night.
Yeah, I can honestly say from beginning to end, it might have been the best card we've ever had. It was just, you know, tremendous. You know, when Brian Cage and Hammerstone are stealing the show and it's match four on an eight-match card, you know, definitely a sight to see. There was so much that went on. Three new champions were crowned. We had four cage matches. We announced that Killer Cross is coming home in February and he's bringing a friend with him.
That is awesome.
A friend. Gee, yes. Who could that friend be? Who?
Yeah. No, it is not. It's not Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
I was thinking about another blonde. Just me. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Did Keith Lee dye his hair?
Oh, my God.
We're going to bring him back. New gimmick. The natural Keith Lee.
I like it.
I think...
Hopefully it'll do better than the natural Butch Reed, who...
Whoa. What do you mean, do better than? That guy was... He was awesome, the natural Butch Reed.
Yeah, he was, but he didn't have as much success in the ring as one would have thought he would have had.
You know, Doom was one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
They were all right. Yeah, you can't be busting on Butch Reed too bad.
Yeah, right. I'll bet. But the
natural thing was
natural Butch Reed with the blonde hair.
Give me Hacksaw Butch Reed.
There you go.
Give me that one. Yeah, but just to comment on Joe's show last night, before we have our special guest Christian Harloff coming on here, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, keep him in the green room for right now. We're talking.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I was there last night, and what a great time that was. I mean, just fantastic matches, top to bottom of the card. Brian Cage is a very big man.
Yeah.
Dude is huge. I got his autograph and stuff, got to talk to him for a while, and good Lord. I've stood beside the Warlord, who bigger than Cage, but body musculature-wise and not by much, man. I'll tell you what. Whew.
Right, but the Warlord didn't do, a third of the things Brian can do in the ring.
No, and...
You forget, when a guy you haven't seen for so long, you know what I mean? And then with AEW, I don't want to dredge up things, but his wife is right. Like, how does that guy not get,
utilized
appearances weekly? Like, he was brought in as a big deal and then just kind of, they just overlooked them like they do so many guys.
Well, I must say it's the one thing that we've been discussing week after week on this show with AEW is they brought in so many people. There's only so much time they have. And guys like Brian Cage, unfortunately, as ridiculous as it sounds, get pushed to the back.
Cage is in there last night doing 619s. and hurricanranas. And it's just an unbelievable sight to see what that man can do.
A guy
in
that
the
big
ring.
Doing that.
And
especially on a guy like Hammerstone.
Yeah, and what a great fit those two are in the ring. They are fantastic together. I hope we get to see that match again somewhere down the road, because that was
I don't know. After what happened last night, I'm interested to see them together.
I was just
going to
say, if they join up,
tickets.
Yeah.
Well, my idea got shot down to Joe last night, so I got to... Joe didn't like it for budgetary reasons.
I won't even ask what the idea
that
was.
Unfortunately is the... But I'll tell you what, you know, we did way better with the walk-up. You know, that's always the concern. You know what tickets you're going to sell, and especially in advance these days with the PayPal. So we knew we were doing a pretty good... You know, we were going to have a pretty good showing. But, you know, the walk-up was tremendous. And that's always, like, the biggest worrisome when it comes to putting together a show and knowing the budget you had. But, you know, in this day and age, it's great that, you know, people sponsor. Like, you know, people, it's funny how people talk about, you know, it was like the old days of NASCAR that, you know, they're a bunch of trailer park trash. They got no money. And it's like, you know, those people are paying $1,500 to sit at WrestleMania in front row. I understand they do get a chair with that $1,500, but they still pay that. And, you know, we had some great sponsors who throw in, you know, anywhere from, you know, $200 to $1,000 to, you know, get their product out there. But they're doing it more because they're big fans. And we couldn't do it without those guys. That even right before the other cage match was Matt Vandegrift and Damian Drake, one of our regular sponsors, Garth, with Finley Mazda. Like, hey, how much is it to sponsor? Well, usually it would be a little more, but they would get a lot of stuff beforehand, social media. You know, it happened halfway through the show. So, you know, they That's were willing cool. to kick in a few bucks. And those guys had an amazing weapons match.
Yes,
there
were
so many different things that happened yesterday, you know, that you get worried also about, hey, you got four cage matches. How is that going to work? But one was a traditional match, you know. And then we had the Escape the Cage, and then we had the weapons match, and then we topped the night off. And, you know, Chris Bay, one of the biggest homegrown stars in our history, you know, became the No Limits champion. So it was definitely, you know, a good day. People who watched on Fight TV, I had one guy complaining the whole night, but the rest of everybody, you know, loved the show. And a lot of people, it was their first time watching us. So hopefully we made some new fans.
And really quickly, for those of us who are dumb enough to actually miss the show last night, when is the next FSW event?
Well, we actually have a tournament called Limitless that we did a couple years ago. So we're going to put eight guys in a ring, and they're going to be more of the X Division high flyer types. We've already signed Davey Richards and Trey Miguel, the X Division champion, to be a part of it. And some of our mainstays, Jay Vidal, Matt Vandegrift, Damian Drake, and one of the hottest rising young stars out of California, Jack Cartwheel, who's gotten a lot of love with GCW, and he's a tremendous wrestler. Adrian Quest, who's been killing it in New Japan. So, you know, that's going to be a big fun show. That's going to be at the FSW Arena December 10th. We got a big New Year's Eve show, and now we're gearing up toward the Mecca with Killer Cross, Scarlett Bordeaux, Davey Richards is going to be there. We're hoping my guy Jay Lethal gives us the buzz back and gets the okay to be a part of that show. But that one's going to be a mega card.
So. All right. Sounds
or a mega card.
Yeah. We're getting ready for some great FSW action. That's for sure. It was a blast last night. So get over there to FSWVegas.com and check it all out. Well, speaking of stuff you need to check out, this is a little different for us here on the show. Normally we're talking completely professional wrestling, but this is a phenomenon. This is something amazing. If you have not watched any of the movie Trivia Schmodown, they have taken trivia and combined it with a professional wrestling style that is absolutely amazing. And we're going to bring on one of the founders of that right now. That is Christian Harloff. Let me hit the magic button to get him on. Christian, how are you this morning?
Good, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. And I am in the green room, and I wiped it out. So, joke's on you guys.
Oh, no. The donuts are gone. The Pop-Tarts are history.
That's right.
I bet you left that one old Danish that nobody wanted.
No, I'm hungry. I ate that, too.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, then we don't have to clean it up. Well, Christian, this whole thing to me, when I got the information about it, quite fascinating in that, I watched some of the contests, and to see how you guys with the Schmodown have taken trivia and combined it with the pro wrestling entertainment style. There are belts, there are different champions. They've established characters. It's pretty fascinating stuff. How did you come up with this hybrid?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for saying that. I appreciate it, because that's the overall goal, is to make sure that, like, wrestling fans in general, that they see it, they get it, right? Because movies are universal. Everybody loves movies. But the wrestling fan, as you guys know, they'll tell you right away, I'm like, nah, this doesn't feel real. This doesn't feel like what I'm used to watching. So I grew up watching wrestling. I was a writer for the WWE for a brief stint, but I was there for a little bit. And then... But growing up, I grew up during the golden era. So, Savage, Hogan, that was the stuff that I really loved. And then when I was in college, got into the Attitude Era. But when I started getting into the movie review space back in 2008, 2009 on YouTube. And really, everybody and their mother does it now, but nobody was doing it back then except my buddy who I met at the Comedy Store. And he and I both regulars there. And we started a show called Schmoes Know, where we just wanted to take the average view of people who see movies and they talk about it. And we started going on Adam Carolla's show, and we started getting a bit of an audience, and we started a 2-hour podcast, and it was live every week. And so he and I, both being sports fans, we said, why don't we do like a March Madness type movie trivia tournament and put all of our characters in it. For the first year we did it, it was extremely popular, but it was really not what you guys would go on and see now. It was just people playing trivia in a room. And then the following year, I said, well, let's spice it up a little bit. Let's do teams, but we'll reach out to people like Nerdist and IGN and people like that, and then we did a second tournament. It wasn't until year three, when I started working at Collider, that the evolution of what you guys see now started to play, because I wanted to do a weekly tournament, but I wanted to do a UFC of meets Jeopardy. But then I was like, well, how do I really change it up? I was like, what if we combine these storylines of wrestling and we take these big characters, but we almost do like a choose your own adventure? So basically what that would mean is all of the trivia itself is legitimate. You never mess with the game, because that's when you start to that's where the difference is with wrestling, as far as the outcomes, and they have to be determined. It's just the way that it works. In regards to our thing, you can build up. I'm like, okay, well, I know I want to turn this guy heel, but if he wins, then I can't do that. I'll keep him face for a little bit until I can maneuver it until the next time he loses, or I can do it through a cutscene. And we started doing that, and we started playing up these big characters, big entrances. We did this big match, and Booker T found it. And Booker T reached out to me, and he and I worked together years ago, but we hadn't kept in touch or anything, and we started getting involved. And we started doing live events, and we started selling out in New York and Chicago and doing all these places, and it just started to work, because it was that energy. When you go to one of our live events, you feel the energy in the crowd. You can feel, it feels like you're at an event.
Yeah, I mean, when a bunch of the ones that I watched, there is a real feel to that, and you can get to know some of these people that are characters, and people that you want to boo and you want to cheer, and having done bar trivia for a long time, and I ran a movie theater and everything too, so I kind of had a decent amount of movie trivia knowledge. Yeah, these guys are amazing, and ladies are, they would destroy me in about one round, and I'd just be crying in the corner. The knowledge is amazing.
Yeah, well, that was the other part of it. The other part of it is that we wanted to do like I can't catch a football in the end zone, at the Meadowlands, but I'll watch it. And but it's the same thing that when people go in, they go and they see. I had buddies of mine from New York, and we went, and they had never really seen it yet, and they were watching, and they said, I didn't know any of the answers, but I kept wondering, how the hell are these people getting these right? How do they know this? It's like we treat our competitors like they are mental athletes. They are mental athletes. What they put themselves through, the way that they study for this thing, the way that they really, they bury themselves into it to become the best. As you said before, we do have championships. We do have belts that, so I mentioned Booker T. Booker T, for his reality of wrestling, the guy who makes the belts for them made our belt.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
Yeah, so, and then we're still very connected to wrestling. I mean, Chris Jericho is one of our competitors.
But yeah, that is, yeah, I saw that list, quite a star-studded list of players that have been on the show. And of course, we're on Christian Harloff, one of the co-founders of Movie Trivia Schmodown, and they've got a big event, by the way, coming up. Just want to make sure we mention this a couple of times. The Schmodown Spectacular 6, which is coming up December 4th at the Globe Theater in Los Angeles. You can either go on, get tickets for it, or watch it live on pay-per-view. Just go to theschmodownlive.com. So, now, how do you develop some of these characters? I mean, do you guys, is it more of them doing it on their own, or do you work with them? How do you work that all out? Because obviously, it's a different group of people than you would have with professional wrestlers.
I mean, it is and it isn't. It's a bit of column A, column B, right? So I'm very much involved in the development of characters and storylines. We have a composer that comes up with the entrance music to fit the character, to fit the style. And we let them develop throughout the first couple of matches, and we also listen to the audience and what they like. And it is wrestling. I mean, it's 100% to see what's working, what's not working. And as far as coming up with the characters, so here's an example, because it's been different over the last 2 years, because obviously with the pandemic, it set us back to where, if you go now, if any of your listeners go to check out the channel at the moment, you go to the Schmodown on YouTube, you're going to see a lot of digital matches. And it's, as much as that kept us alive, it's not the show. What you just mentioned before, December 4th, that's the show, the live event, the big moments, the characters. And so we had a buddy of mine, Kevin Smith, who he auditioned for. He's one of our greatest Inner Geekdom players, and the Inner Geekdom division could be anywhere from Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, Star Wars, Jurassic Park, any of those movies, and the extensive knowledge is incredible. Kevin came in, he auditioned as a Patreon member, which is one of our tiers. You can audition, and he auditioned as the Macho Man, and he came in and he called himself the Macho Man, and I said no. I said absolutely not. And he was doing like an act. He was doing the impression. I'm like, no. I'm like, that's a gimmick that's been done, and there's no reason to do it unless you're going to come in as like a clown that keeps kind of taking people's gimmicks. I was like, go and develop it and come back. And when he came back, I said, why don't you just put a hoodie on, mean mug it, and you just gonna, we'll call you Kevin the Smasher Smith. And it's what he did. He came in Goldberg style, and he just destroyed people.
Oh, good Lord!
So good. And he just destroyed people. He won the championship in his rookie season, and he's got this. He kind of looks like the Winter Soldier a little bit. So we had this music that kind of fit that. And he comes in, and I mean, he's battled. He's a warrior in life as well. He just battled cancer and he beat it. And he's not back yet in our league, but he's just one of those characters that came in like, who the hell is this guy? And he won the fans over because he was just that he proved it in the ring as much as he did with the character.
What do you think are the biggest parallels between what you're doing and a professional wrestling product? Where do you see the massive similarities? Is obviously, you know, you said you got a wrestling background. You know, what are the biggest thing, most important things to you when you're putting this together and developing this show?
It's not to sound like a broken record, but the audience participation and the audience being on board. because our current singles champion is Lady Justice Marisol McKee.
Yes.
She's the first woman and the first African-American to ever win the championship, and she did it this year. And she first won the singles championship. And when we did an event at the Scum and Villainy Cantina here in Hollywood, and what I started to see as she started to win the crowd really, I mean, she has popped like no one I've seen in years. And she's walking out, and the crowd just started chanting, Lady Justice, Lady Justice. She wins the title, the You Deserve It, start going throughout the crowd. And it's that participation knowing, okay, we got them the way that we want to get them because they're buying into this character. They're buying into her accomplishments. They're buying into what she's not only doing during competition, but what she's doing outside of the competition, in the interviews, in the vignettes, all these things. Like that's the parallel, is how do you get characters over? Whether it's, we have our top heel at the moment is Chandru the Chosen, Don DePonte, and he knows what it is to be a heel, a real heel, not someone who wants to, like, to me back in the day. You know, like you guys mentioned Butch Reed before. Like, Butch Reed wasn't a cool, like, to us, he might have been cool, but he wasn't a cool heel. He didn't get cheered. He got booed. Dino Bravo got booed, right? That's what, a real heel goes into, not like cool heels. They're heels. And this guy, there was this whole thing that happened on Twitter, and he was going back and forth, and the fans started to protect him a little bit. And he goes, I don't want that. He's like, they're gonna cheer me next time I walk out. I go, first of all, you get it. But no, they're not going to cheer you because they hate you too much. And that to me is like that's the parallel of wrestling, of like really understanding the emotion, because what it did was he was in a title match and the energy in that crowd, they wanted this guy to lose so much. He said it as much. He's like, you weren't here because we sold out right away because they wanted to see the champion kick this guy's face because of the way he sold the fight and what he said. And that's the parallel of it. It's how much do you want that person to win? How much do you want that person to lose? And the other side of it is a matter of, do you think you can do this? That's what we also have, right? It's like, it's a little different in wrestling because it's like not everybody can wrestle. If you know movie trivia, if you think you can do it on the microphone and you think that you have the personality, you could do this. And I think that's what it opens up to a lot of different people.
And we're on with Christian Harloff of Movie Trivia Schmodown. And your main event of this event down at Los Angeles, the Schmodown Spectacular 6, has Lady Justice defending against Downtown Griffy Nooms, who, if anybody saw the movie Draft Day, and I know he's done other things, but he was Rick the Intern, the guy that got his laptop smashed.
Yep.
This dude's in there with pink gloves, and he's a little snotty. A little snotty. I mean, I have a feeling you're going to have a pretty good crowd for that one.
He is incredible. What a rookie season he's having. Not only is he playing for the singles championship, he's also playing for the teams championship in the same event. He is the first rookie to ever do that. He won both tournaments this year. He's undefeated. He's tied only one other rookie, one other person in history to win seven matches in one season. And in the singles division, he's won three in teams. So he's going in there, never lost a match before, and he's got a potential to be the first double-belted rookie in Movie Trivia Schmodown history. But Marisol McKee also chasing history. If she defends the championship, she will be only the third person in history to defend the title twice. And will also tie both Griffin Newman and Adam Collins to win seven matches in one season. So there's a lot of history on the line. He's very popular, and she is at the height, maybe the most popular star that we have. So this is going to be a very, very interesting match, and probably the best card we've ever had.
All right. And last question for you, looking to the future on this thing, where do you see all this going? Because you've developed such an incredible following with the Movie Trivia Schmodown. How do you see this building more and more over the next couple of years?
So more live events, more people like your audience, to be completely honest with you, because the movie sphere, they have found us, and we're always reaching out to more of the movie sphere, but it's the wrestling audience who are both movie fans, and they get it more, I think, than even the movie fans. Because when we're doing it up top, when we just started doing the Schmodown, the non-wrestling fans would watch it and say, well, at first, I'm here for the trivia. And then they start learning about the characters. Like, oh, I never was a wrestling fan, but now this is fun. Now I get this. The wrestling fan gets it right away. The wrestling fan sees, like, for you guys see, like, the stuff going on. You're like, oh, I get this. I relate to this. I understand this. And now, and combine this with movies. So I want to expand that. And I want to be able to go and basically turn the Schmodown, do for movie trivia, what esports essentially has done for video games. Because when people think trivia, you think bar trivia, you think this, and this is not bar trivia. This is a professional movie trivia league, and you're like, oh, you can be a professional movie trivia player? If you can be a professional dart player, you can be a professional movie trivia player.
So, hey, make sure you guys check this out. It is going to be a lot of fun, and if you enjoy trivia and you want to see one of the more interesting hybrids of entertainment, head on over to the schmodownlive.com. This is going to be at the Globe Theater in L.A., on December 4th, and it's also available on pay-per-view. It's going to be a lot of fun, and Christian, I really want to thank you for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to get to talk to you, and we'll look forward to watching this thing on the 4th.
Same here. If you guys if you find yourselves in Los Angeles, let me know. I'll get you tickets.
Oh, there you go. More tickets. Perfect.
Yep.
All right. Well, Christian, thank you very much. I do appreciate it, and we will talk again soon.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Have a great night or day. It's the morning. I lost track. Yikes.
It feels like it. Thanks.
You got it. All right. There you go. Christian Harloff. Fish? Are we going to team up for some trivia?
Sure. Hey, you know, I am a Sports Jeopardy champion.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, why doesn't he have a professional... Since he's geared toward wrestling fans, why is it movie trivia? Why isn't it wrestling trivia?
See, Joe, there's another idea for you.
There you go. I get, you know, live at
that could be the
schmoz
down.
I'll hook you up with them, and you guys can pull that all together.
You know, I'll do it myself. I've cut him out. I don't need a middleman.
It could be the wrestling schmoz down.
What I'm saying. You know, perfect. Like. If all these wrestling fans are doing movie trivia, it's like, you know, I know movies and stuff. But when it comes to wrestling, I'll put my knowledge up against anybody. And I know wrestling fans are very passionate about that. I think I might have to start my own wrestling trivia league.
I like it.
See, this is what we do here. We make money. There you go. Hey, so we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to get to talk about the week
wrestling.
In wrestling.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. The Survivor Series.
Joe, if you start the league, I want to be your Jack Tunney.
No. No. No more Jack Tunneys. This is the Mark Hoke Show. Best in professional wrestling and a whole lot more. Andrew Fish Fane, Joe DeFalco. We will be right back. Stick around.
...101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
All right, I'm pushing buttons, flipping levers, doing all sorts of crazy stuff in here, answering the phones.
When are they going to get rid of that guy? How many times is he going to not show up?
I wasn't commenting on that side. I was just saying that I'm doing the thing, if you know what I mean. Yo.
Like a low-rent Miz.
Somebody wake him up.
I did try, but anyway. Oh, man. The Mark Hoke Show, Best in Pro Wrestling, and a whole lot more. Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling. He's awake after that amazing show last night. I was exhausted by the time that was over.
Oh, I'm tired. I couldn't sleep. I got up. It was like 6:30, and I tried, and I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm up.
Andrew Fish Fane in there, too. You just look like he rolled out of bed.
And where was he yesterday? I thought he was supposed to be making an appearance.
I was going to, but unfortunately, I had to work.
I thought this was your job.
Oh, if this was my job, I would be a much happier man.
Oh, no doubt. Joe, maybe you should give us some of those sponsors you nailed last night. That would help.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. Well, some things that we know about. You know, one thing that I wanted to mention to kind of tie all that together with Christian, you know, the cultural influence of professional wrestling on entertainment and our society, it's really amazing when you actually think about it, how much it has permeated things that people say and do, and how it influenced the entertainment industry.
And love him or hate him, you have Vince McMahon to thank for that.
Are you sure? Do we have to?
Unfortunately, because prior to him doing what he did, it never would have happened.
Yeah, it's...
He brought it to the mainstream.
I mean, here's a guy, you know, obviously, I didn't know that Christian wrote for WWE for a little while, but, you know, to be
able... Yeah, he wrote the Katie Vick angle, I heard.
Oh!
That and Mae Young giving birth to a hand.
Stop. We all know that was those are Russo things. Don't blame Christian. He probably ran out of that writing room like a lot of people do. But it is amazing when you think about, you know, people like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Ric Flair and, you know, Hulk Hogan and so many others that have come through the professional wrestling. See, you blew my segue, but that's okay. Well, I'll get to that in a second. But it is incredible, you know, that it even influences trivia competition television shows. I mean, that is something else, guys.
Yeah, and like I said, it's Vincent Kennedy McMahon who has done all of this.
So you do have to thank Vince a little bit. And speaking of...
There, no doubt, the guy, you know, put wrestling at the forefront. He had this big idea about the WrestleMania, stole, you know, most of the AWA talent because Vern Gagne was too busy trying to put himself and his kid over.
Yeah.
And, you know, he basically, it's kind of like the UFC. There's MMA places all over the place. But when you think of MMA, you say UFC. When you think of cola, you think of Coke and Pepsi. You know, those are the brands. Now, just because he's delusional and he's, you know, time to pass it on down to the younger generation, he'll always, you know, have the legacy of Vince McMahon made wrestling what it was. And unfortunately, at this point, you know, he's made wrestling what it is.
Yeah, and speaking of wrestling as it is, we had Survivor Series on Sunday.
We did.
Coming up this week, cool. Who's wrestling?
Last Sunday's, well, you know, I'll say this, and I may get off on a little bit of a tangent here. First, got to give credit to Becky and Charlotte. Great match. Got to give credit to Big E and Roman Reigns. Great match.
No credit belongs anywhere else in the entire episode.
Good Lord. And, you know, it to me, you know, when you had the segments with the stupid egg tie-in to The Rock's new movie and the pizza battle royal, which was just ridiculous. It was one of the worst battle royals I've ever seen.
Where's the gobbledygooker when you need him?
You know, eggs are not good for wrestling. Can we just figure that out?
You know, it's funny because you started with the WWE, and for the first time ever, I am more interested in what's going on in AEW.
Yay! Welcome to the club, Fish.
But the egg did give Austin Theory an opportunity that he would have never gotten before if he didn't steal the egg.
That's very true, because it reminded Vince a lot of him.
That was so pathetic.
You know, because he basically stole the company from under his father's wing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he stole the territory from Ole Anderson.
Wow, we're just throwing everybody under the bus today here on the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN 101.5 FM.
We haven't thrown you under the bus yet.
Not yet, but you guys, I'm sure you could do it if you wanted to. But, of course, no Rock. You hyped the Rock. He showed up, did a video at least for Impact for Ken Shamrock, but we get no Rock on his 25th anniversary.
We got Roman Reigns doing a rock bottom.
Slow tease.
And Roman Reigns did the rock bottom.
3-year angle, you know. They took all the other angles that they haven't done over the last 3 years, and they're saving this one.
baseball. Isn't that thrilling?
Yes.
But one thing that struck me during this pay-per-view, and I don't know if you guys
the steel
really...
chair?
No.
That
no,
was not I, one thing that struck you?
No, I was more hitting my... I was hitting myself with a rock watching that thing. But when Vince came out with the egg, you know, he got out of the limo and everybody's like, yay! Hi, Vince! Yay! And then he... and that's Vince McMahon. I'm Vince. Hey. And then he grabs the egg. And Vince gets out of the limo with the egg. And look, everybody, here's an egg. And the look on everybody's faces, like Reggie, go back and watch that video. Go watch it and see the looks on everyone's faces when he got that out. And everybody looked at him like, what the hell is that?
Well, that's
and that's got to be what it's like working for WWE right now.
That's because the last egg that came out of Survivor Series was the one with the gobbledygooker in it.
Yeah, and that one should have. This one should have gone away too. But
my question is, how many people watched Red Notice to even know what the egg is about?
Yeah, I have no idea what that's about. I haven't seen Red Notice.
You know, it was a good movie. You know, Ryan Reynolds and The Rock. It was funny. It was Wonder Woman was in it. But it's like, how many mainstream people have any idea what the reference to the egg is?
Yeah, because you didn't know. I don't remember because I know they showed a Red Notice commercial early on, but I don't remember seeing the egg. So, I mean, I feel so bad because you have so much talent sitting in front of you at WWE. And they get these crazy scripts. They have to do this nonsense stuff. Look at SmackDown this weekend.
With Toni Storm and Charlotte Flair and her getting cream pied.
Wow. You said it, big man.
I'll tell you what. People pay extra for that these days.
Exactly.
A little less here in Vegas. It's more common. But anyway.
But, I mean, you're absolutely right. And then contrast it with, as I was saying, the just absolutely incredible 18-minute promo back and forth between MJF and CM Punk on AEW, which was, to me, what wrestling is about.
You buried...
Yeah, and if MJF doesn't win the match, then I boycott them, too.
You just watched Toni Storm get buried. Ridge Holland comes up. He gets buried. Rick Boogs loses this match. Because somebody grabbed his guitar.
Oh, and the miserable battle royal, the same way as always.
I say, they had Jeff Hardy get buried basically because he won it. Because if the ring announcer saying he wins, then all of a sudden someone else comes in. It's like, guys, figure it out.
Come on, something.
You know, Jeff Hardy. You know, he's like the Matt Hardy character. You can't kill Jeff Hardy. They want to love Jeff Hardy. And WWE does whatever they could to try to make you not love the guy.
You could during his match with Drew McIntyre, even when McIntyre was in the ring, the crowd was chanting Hardy.
Yeah.
He is so over.
Yeah, they want to see one more run out of the guy. You know, and they're not going to get it. They won't.
No, I mean he was limited to he was at one point he was in the crowd for the 24/7 belt. So.
Yeah, wasn't that?
Well, you know, Matt's hoping that Jeff can get out of that contract because he's hoping for that one more run.
Yeah, and I think Jeff would like the one more run with his brother as well. I think he'd also like another run with the WWE title, but we'll see about that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but yeah.
Yeah, the 24/7 title. He's going to have a run. Him and R-Truth are going to battle it out.
Oh, no, it's Dana Brooke now. Dana Brooke. Jeff Hardy and Dana Brooke for the 24/7 title.
Dana Brooke is currently the title holder. That tells you all you need to know.
I don't even know that they still had matches. So,
yeah, it was nice moment for Dana. Yeah. I give her that nice moment.
But
for
that's
Dana.
not what it should be about. Like no. I said, the 18-minute back and forth between MJF and CM Punk was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, so let's get to that and forget that week of WWE programming
and
happened.
It's very rarely that you hear them call out wrestlers from another organization, but the fact that CM Punk called him a low-rent Miz was, to me, one of the greatest lines of all time.
Joe, what were your thoughts about that promo?
Well, it did everything what it's supposed to do. You know, Punk is the guy who came back. Everybody loves Punk. And, you know, even though it's kind of been rocky at certain times because, you know, getting involved in matches that nobody cares about, you know, MJF is relevant. He's the guy, and he's that anti-guy. You know, remember when Miz, you know, started getting hot, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he had his catchphrase and everybody was doing it. And it was like he almost turned babyface Wade Barrett same way when he was doing the Bad News Barrett thing, that people were getting behind it. They want to hear stuff that they believe has truth in it. And that's one thing that CM Punk always did. As much of a work as it is, everything that he said, you can believe. You didn't have to be that smart mark who, you know, went on the internet and saw the other stuff. He says things that the average fan knows a little bit about. So, you know, he can exaggerate a little, but there's so much truth into everything. And, you know, it was shots taken. That's what needs to be. You know, when you're arguing back and forth with your boys and things like that, you're going to say stuff, but you're going to exaggerate a little to make the story better. And that's exactly what they did. And, you know, we saw the inklings of it with MJF and Chris Jericho, and they got a lot of mileage out of that. And as I, you know, screamed, you know, he can't even beat the 50-year-old. It's like now they can make up for that in any of the bad booking that they've done down the line. If MJF shocks the world and beats CM Punk, that jumps him up to where, hey, now him and Adam Page for the title is a big deal.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, too, mention that, is now you've got an interesting situation. Now you got MJF and CM Punk, and you got Hangman Adam Page and Bryan Danielson, collision courses for all these guys, and it's the young versus the old veterans that they've brought in. I shouldn't say older.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see how they book it. If they book it to be, because it used to be that, oh, you know, the old veteran was going to win. You knew CM Punk was going to win, and you knew Bryan Danielson was going to win, because that's the way they'd have to book it right now, because the young guys will have their time. It isn't that way anymore.
Yeah, I think this is going to be incredibly fascinating to see what choices AEW makes in terms of these feuds. Are they going to, you know, flip the belts a couple of times, or will MJF and CM Punk get in a long feud, which would be amazing.
Credit where credit's due. Joe is absolutely right. If they have CM Punk go over MJF, there's no point in having MJF.
Yeah, I think MJF should go over. You can always set that up down the road, too, where, you know, if MJF wins this round, you know, could you imagine if Punk, you know, then builds his way back up and say MJF wins the championship? And they kind of come back together later.
CM Punk is kind of like what John Cena was. And when The Miz got in John Cena's face, and all of a sudden the crowd was getting tired of John Cena, and they kind of turned on him. And then instead of putting The Miz over, he got buried by Cena, and it took him like a year and a half to get back into it, to where they finally put him over at WrestleMania. And the same thing will happen if MJF once again gets involved in this high profile feud and loses. You know what I mean? CM Punk should be insistent, because, you know, that's what he talks about, guys like The Undertaker and all the people that, you know, he felt in reality held him back, and it was the old guard. Well, now he's the old guard. You know, practice what you preach. Now is the opportunity for you to make a star. And, you know, regardless of Tony Khan's in charge and all that, if CM Punk says, no, this kid's got to win, then that kid's going to win. So
And I think you're absolutely right. And Mark asked me a great question before we went on the air, and I didn't know the answer to this, and I thought maybe you would. When they did that promo back and forth, did they tell each other that the shots they're going to take, or is that generally a surprise left for the ring?
You know, I know with our guys, the best promos, you know, Hammerstone and Cross, when they went back and forth, they had an idea what they were going to talk about, but they took shots because that's what you need to do. You need to get that raw emotion and get fired up. You know, I know when I'm in the ring and I'm cutting promos on the guys, you know, I find what they were lacking and why they weren't in the position they were in, even though they felt they should be. And you got a lot of oohs and ahs from the crowd because, you know, a lot of these guys didn't reach their potential and they didn't, you know, take that extra step and, you know, do 120% to become the best that you can be. And you can see the ones who do that, which are the Hammerstones and the Brian Cages and the Crosses, that, you know, they're never happy where they are. They always want more. They want to feel that they are the best that they can be. And, you know, the best way to do that. Now, obviously, if you're a crappy promo, then you're going to get buried. And that's what you've seen happen. You know, years ago, they wanted to push Billy Gunn as this singles guy, and they put him in a feud with The Rock, and The Rock just humiliated him on the microphone. And they ended up only having one match, and The Rock went over clean as a whistle, and Billy Gunn got tossed back into being, you know, the work rate guy for DX, and they had to put him back with Road Dogg because he couldn't hang. And in wrestling these days, as I try to tell all my guys, you know, being a great wrestler is great. But Brad Armstrong was considered a great wrestler who was a low-card wrestler because the personality and character was there. If you can't cut a promo, you ain't got a character. There's only so far you can get.
Yeah, and certainly people are going to be talking about this MJF CM Punk promo for a long time until the next one.
Yeah, and if MJF's the champ, it ain't going to be because, oh, man, I can't wait to see an MJF match. It's like, oh, I can't wait to hear what he's going to say next.
Yeah, so it's going to be fascinating to see where that goes. By the way, I think my favorite line was when he hit MJF hit CM Punk with the hustle, loyalty, and respect line. Oh, that one had to sear, and the other one when he referenced Triple H as saying that he was better than him.
Yeah, when you were held down by the I can see you and the King of Kings.
Yeah, brutal. So that will it's going to be a fascinating time here in wrestling between WWE, AEW, and all of the other promotions that are going on right
FSW.
Now. FSW. Yeah, FSW, of course. And of course, I'm Mark Hoke of
yes,
Mark
you are.
Hoke Show.
I'm Andrew the Fish Vane of the Mark Oak Show.
Did you see GCW sold out the Hammerstein in 2 days?
They did, and they added extra seats, too.
There you go.
I don't know if they're going to, like, build a second tier on the floor or something, but okay. Yeah, they stuck another 200 seats in there to jack that up. So, good for them. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And by the way, also outside news in Ring of Honor, Dalton Castle wins the TV title.
Oh, I can't wait to see who he defends it. Oh, wait, they don't have any shows.
Exactly.
Well, they got one.
Exactly where
they got
go.
One more to go. But I will say that you heard Dalton Castle and Matt Taven both come out and say that when they had to do these TV tapings, at least for a while, they were so miserable. I think Taven was the one that said it was like going to your own funeral. So they're getting ready for Final Battle, which I'm sure Final Battle is going to be a lot of fun. But
well, you know. You're going to see what's going to happen, you know, some inside scoops. So it's like, you know, who's challenging for the tag titles at Final Battle? Well, the most legendary tag team in Ring of Honor history, the Briscoes. If you think they're not winning it, so at least if they don't come back, the Briscoes will... You want to go out with Matt Taven and the other dude as the tag champs, or are you going to go out with the Briscoes?
Yeah, and same thing, Jonathan Gresham's challenging for the world title going against Bandido. And if Jonathan Gresham does go over in that match, oh, my God.
They already took the tag belts from that. They're going to go to their old school roots, and I'm pretty sure it's easy to see who's going to, you know, move forward. I saw Gresham say, you know, he's, you know, Ring of Honor till he dies, blah, blah, blah. And if they ever run shows again, a guy like Gresham, he's a hot commodity. But, you know, look at Jay Lethal. You know, he jumped off the ship because, you know, he needed to. He had to, you know. And he's not... Jonathan Gresham. He's upwards of 40 years old. So Lethal, you know, how many runs does he have left? So, you know, the idea is they want to be a super indie. Well, GCW's already got that crown. So what is Ring of Honor going to come back and be?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what tricks they try to turn when it comes to this comeback next year.
Oh, absolutely. And who wants to go back to Ring of Honor and who wants to stay wherever they currently get booked?
Yep.
You know, maybe we'll give them the rub and work with them, but, you know, we have bigger fish to fry. So.
There you go. Well, we got about a minute to go, and I did want to mention the Seth Rollins attack.
Yeah, that
on Raw. Yikes.
What a work that is. People are talking about it a week later. It's fantastic.
Now, they're blaming the Barclays security, not the WWE security.
And this, well, they should.
They are. You know, they're blaming the fans for not digging Vince McMahon's storylines. They're not blaming Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I mean that was incredible that he got that shot in on Rollins.
Nice spear.
It was a fantastic spear.
Yeah, but that guy sounded like a lunatic. All credit to Seth Rollins for the way he took it.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And
he knows how to sell.
And boy, you really think that was a work?
No, I don't. But I think it's hilarious that it could be if it was. You know.
You know. But
if it was a work, that's how I would try to do it.
Yeah, certainly the guy had a hell of a lot of time to get there.
Well, you know, that's he was talking to Seth Rollins online. Now, whether it was really Seth Rollins, did Seth Rollins, as a wrestling school owner, tell the guy he was going to make him a star? He says he's got text messages, so
All right. Maybe
the truth isn't out there yet.
Yeah, we'll find out. Well, hey, I want to thank everybody for joining us here on the Mark Hoke Show. Thank you, Andrew Fishbane and Joe DeFalco, for sitting in with me here on Sunday morning. Make sure you go to MarkHokeShow.com. Check out the website, Twitter, Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, and get in on the fun. It's been a great ride. We've got more crazy viewers from all over the world. Gibraltar joined the party. That was pretty incredible. So thanks to all of you around the world that are listening to The Mark Hoke Show. We appreciate it. We will see you next week. Have a great Sunday.